It's time now for Empowered Family Talk with Francina Hallriss.
Do you want to empower families and young people in your community? Then take the time to make a tax-deductible contribution to the Coach Tate Fund. The Coach Tate Foundation is dedicated to helping young people and their families in learning and passing on the kinds of life skills that we all need to succeed. All too often, we hear about kids and their families having encountered life's difficulties that could have been easily avoided by knowing better decision-making skills. From anger management to money management to something as simple as learning to manage how we spend our time or how we use our job skills. Make a donation to the Coach Tate Fund. It'll help kids who need help and their families too. Make your contribution to the Coach Tate Fund. Get details at www.coachtatefoundation.com. And oh, by the way, thank you.
May the words of our mouths and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our redeemer. Good morning. It's family time, and welcome back to Empower Family Talk. We the people, paying it forward in this 21st century as we come together to balance these scales of justice within our patient. Are we ready? Good morning, Marcus. How are you today?
Good morning, Francine. I'm fine. How are you?
I'm doing great. I tell you what, Marcus, I woke up this morning with my mind on this word patient. What about you? How do you feel about that word patient?
I think patience, Francine, is something that is so needed in our society. Because people, a lot of times,
your microphone is breaking up. Yeah.
Okay, hold on. I'm gonna try again. Hold on a second. I'm gonna call back. This phone's acting. I'm gonna call back and try it one more time. I'll call right back.
So while Marcus is getting his microphone together, we want to go ahead and give our listeners the best definition of patient. The word patient and patient are homophones, and they sound the same, but they have very different meanings. The noun patience refers to the ability to wait or endure hardship for a long time without becoming upset. And then the noun use of the word patient is the plural form, someone who needs medical care. Now, also, we want to look at what the Bible says about patience. And we want to have our listeners, if you would, in your quiet reading time, turn to Psalm 37, 7 through 9, when the scripture teaches us to be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. Do not fret when people succeed in their ways, when they carry out their wicked schemes, and refrain from anger and turn from wrath. It only leads to evil, but do not fret. For those who are evil will be destroyed, but those who hope in the Lord will inherit the land. And that's our scripture, Mark. Hey,
hello? Can you hear me now?
Yes. Yes, Marcus, that's our scripture, Psalm 37, I just provided for our listeners, and defining the definition of patient today. And we also looked at the Job 1:8, which talks about, we all know the story of the patience of Job, when he lost everything he had. And he went, they say in the secular language, went from the palace to the pit, it seems. But yet he waited patiently for God. What say you, Marcus, on this most important tenet we need to rediscover is our patience? Marcus, please.
If we don't have patience, Francina, in what we do, we're not going to get to a successful road in life. Everything we do, we need to have patience and trust the process to get where we want to go, without a doubt.
And I didn't read, Marcus, in our research this week and studying on this word patience, I didn't really realize the depth of what that means when we understand our impatience. And one of our colleagues wrote a little piece on teaching children, because it's often hard as a parent yourself to teach children. Is that correct?
Patience. Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. When we're young, we don't understand. We want things. We want immediate gratification. So, yes, it's very hard as parents to teach our kids the importance of patience.
I tell you, you got to give an example how you do that. But one that I'll share with our listeners, this rendering, she said, for one of our colleagues, she says, teaching patience in children is about more than making road trips go more smoothly. It's also one of the most important skills your child can learn while he or she is young. And to your point, Marcus, that you just said, I found this profound in her rendering. Patience is one of the first steps to learning what? Delayed gratification, which contributes not only to our career success, but also to our health, relationships, and so much more. Do you find that as a parent yourself, trying to really, you know, model that behavior of patience? Can you share an example of what that might look like in daily life?
Yeah, so for example, with my 16-year-old, I always tell her that she and my mom, her mother and I, have developed patience to get where we are in our marriage. When we were a couple of years ago, we were very impatient, wanting things to get done in a certain time frame, a certain way. Today, we have established a process, a communication between the both of us, and we have both really worked on our patience and not having to have things done at a certain time frame right away. And we've learned things we may have that are important get done right away, the other things that can be done a little bit later on, learning to have patience. Because yeah. If you don't have patience and learn how to really work strongly with your significant other or spouse or partner, it's going to be hard to keep a marriage or a relationship going. Because, again, as we get older, if we don't grow more patient, then what's going to happen is we risk the other person not growing with us in that journey, and that journey that we should be sharing together.
Oh, well said, Marcus. Very well said. And I'll share this with you, to the listeners today. It's just in today's time of you know, the pandemic and the workforce and contracts being terminated, businesses closing, employees losing their jobs, and just a lot of impatience that's permeating our society today. And one of the colleagues that we are talking with is, how do we remain patient when we're trying to achieve a common goal of success, whether it's at the workplace? How do I remain patient with this employee or with someone now I can't see, they're working remote? How do I remain patient as an NFL player draft? And my turn is not on the prime team, but how do I remain patient as a player on the bench? You know, those are key tenets that we really need to look at in 2020. Particularly as we pivot, as you say, I love that word, as we pivot in this new America, that we've had to learn patience. We have had no choice. Is that correct, Marcus?
Oh, you're absolutely correct. The way which we have been living our life has halted. And
yes.
If you don't have patience, it's going to be really hard to press and move forward. And I love your example of, you know, being an athlete having to wait on the bench, or being someone, you know, with businesses closing and unfortunately going all around. And in this day and age, we have to learn the patience of how to, and again, really understand what others are going through. You made a great point about how can I, as an employer, have patience with my employees. And I tell everybody, you have no idea what your employees are dealing with at home, their struggle, their, you know, their insecurities, their fears, their doubts. So if you are an employer who wants to get really a strong trust bond with your employees, learn how to have patience, but also learn how to intertwine your life with theirs. Asking certain questions, not getting too deep, but at least making that employee feel that they are more than just a number or just a earner. Make them feel like part of the mission, part of the family. And that is exactly what I tell a lot of my clients. It's not about what you say to people. It's a lot of times how you say it to people that really matters.
Well, that's right. That's right. And Marcus, I know you love pets and I love pets. And when we're teaching the children, sometimes we have to take complex subjects and simplify them so they get the message. But I'm a big fan of Cesar Millan, the dog whisperer. Are you familiar with Cesar Millan?
Oh, very much so. We have a pit bull. My wife loves him and his show.
Oh, I love it, too. I've got all his books. But, you know, he has a workforce development model that we have been studying for quite a while that is really working in the workforce and with humans as well as pets. And one of the key tenets I learned from Cesar Millan in training rambunctious, impatient pets, and we all know what that looks like sometimes, but he would walk into a room, and it's the presence of the mind. He would say, you know, walk into a room of pit bulls that are just impatient. They want to eat. They want food. They want this. He just walks in with presence and patience, and he's staying. They're barking, and there's one, there's two, there's three. They begin to calm down, and he says, patience, Francina. You've got to permeate patience in your presence, and all the pets just calm. And when he patiently stood, and their impatience turned to patience, then he gave them a treat. So our impatience leads to a good place. Do you agree with that analogy?
I agree with it wholeheartedly. It's about setting the tone. And I tell this all the time, Francina,
yes.
Be cognitive, not emotional. What I mean by that is show calm, show strength, be poised,
yes.
Be patient. And then people around you will end up picking up your culture. That's exactly how, Francina, I went bankrupt. When the company started to struggle and have hard times, I was anxious, I was stressed, I was a yeller. I was a boss. I lost that servant leadership mentality. And as a result of that, Francina, all of my staff picked up on my culture. And once that happened, it was impossible to turn the ship around. And 6 months later, I'm out of business. So I tell people all the time, patience, being poised, being competent, those are intangible assets that you must possess to get through any hard time. And we both know, Francina, 2020 has been the year of hard times for a lot of people.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. And that's well said, Marcus. It is a time that the world is permeating in impatience. And we have to feel that energy in our spaces at work. In our business contracts, I'm consulting with a client now that I'm workforce development. And without, you know, calling the client's name, I'm sitting in a room with high executives that are very impatient when it comes to achieving a goal. And so when they call consultants, and I'm sure you're aware of this, like you and I and others, and Mr. Graham and Mr. Yankee, into the different places to help bring about a balanced scale in the workplace, we had to go in and just step in the room and just be calm. It's a training of the mind and the spirit and the soul to know that patience is a healthy mental condition, and it's perceived in the workplace. And when we escalated patience and de-escalated impatient behaviors, then we were able to accomplish. Have you experienced that as well, Marcus, in your activities with workforce and supplier contracts?
Yes. As a matter of fact, I was talking to one of my clients this morning about that. They have a phenomenal brand, and some of their sales team feels a little underappreciated and a little bit undervalued. And I was talking to the gentleman who's third in command of the organization. It's about 2,000 employees. It's a billion-dollar-a-year business, and he's third in charge. And I was telling him, he's a friend of mine now, we've developed a great friendship. I said, hey, what's going on here is you have a great organization, but if your leadership would just be more patient and just stop sometimes, take a pause. My uncle used to say this all the time. When things around you get very hectic, very crazy, very just, you know, very antsy and very jittery, he said, just pause, stop, breathe, and then make a decision. Don't react when you're in a state of being upset or being very just anxious, because you make bad decisions. So I told my client, if some of your leadership would just be a little bit more patient, really analyze what their sales team is doing. Because, again, you're a billion-dollar-a-year organization, so obviously your sales team is doing very well. But if you give them a little bit more positive encouragement, imagine what that could do. You don't have to go create a trumpet or a parade when they get things done. Just be a little bit patient. See the eyes of that person's view from their lens, from their image, and then just give them a little bit of encouragement and say, great job, nicely done, phenomenal. Little things like that. But I told him, just have your team stop and be a little bit more patient and then create a response that will help them push their team members and their team that they're serving as a leader along with better results and better practicality.
Exactly. Exactly. And to your point there, when we talk about patience, you know, in the sports, arts, music, and whatever we aspire to do, we really, in the New America, need to understand and look in that mirror and determine if we are patient or if we're impatient in our daily actions and in our daily functions. How are we manifesting ourselves in the greater society? Are we being labeled as an impatient person or an impatient business or an impatient worker? Or we've been labeled a patient person. Now, you know, Marcus, I got to share this. We've got a few more minutes because we're excited about what we're going to teach about this in the New America. One of my colleagues, Carol Newman, she deals with a lot of history research on patience, particularly in children and elderly. And she gave us 6 points to share with our listeners this morning. And it really causes us to think. And first, what she made is the benefits of being patient people. Number one, you have a better mental health condition. Your mind is good. Your mind is sound. Number two, you have better friends and neighbors. Number three, it helps us achieve our goals. Going back to that example we shared earlier about the boardroom. Number four, good patient people have good health in their mind, body, soul, and spirit. Number five, patience is a quiet virtue. And number six, And the last one, she said, good things always come to those who wait patiently. I was just surprised on how much it affects our mental health.
Yeah, Francina, you know, when you have patience and when you are calm and you're not on edge, it has a huge impact on your mental health because it keeps you in a position where you have lower blood pressure, lower cholesterol, you're not as stressed out. And again, stressing out, responding to things impatiently and not prudently, does affect your health in a negative way. And if your health is affected in a negative way, then your mental state is not going to be healthy and strong. So absolutely being more patient and more reasonable will help you have a better and healthier life because you're not causing internal damage to yourself and you're not putting a lot of stress on your major organs by being stressed out, anxious, and impatient.
Yes. And how big is that for the new America, for us to get a grip while we're at the house, we're restoring, rediscovering what it's going to take for all of us to march down that road for the next 50 to 100 years into a new century. What does that look like? And Marcus, as you brought it out last week, when we look at our leadership from the top, and I don't get into politics, but we're talking about just the sheer nature of 300 million people here in the United States, starkly divided, just by the numbers that we see. So, and impatience is paramount. But look at where we are today. All of us are having, in some way, shape, or form, to rediscover patience. We've got to wait. Nothing is happening overnight, and that's a key tenet that we're going to be teaching at the New America. Is that correct, Marcus?
Oh, absolutely. We're going to be teaching about the way in which if you develop these skills, Francina, you're going to be in a better position to succeed for the long haul, not just for yourself, but for your family, for the company you work for your community. You know, between yourself, Mr. Yankee, Mr. Stedman Graham, and myself, you have so much experience. Of course, you have great education, knowledge. You know, again, Mr. Yankee was serving in the U.S. Armed Forces. You have an amazing background. Of course, Mr. Stedman Graham speaks for himself, what he's accomplished. I've been an athlete and written books. I've had businesses. I failed, and I've had to get back up. So between the education and the life experiences that are going to be brought to this event next Friday, well, actually next Thursday and Friday, 19th and 20th of November, in Asheville, at the Biltmore, and at the Learning Center in Asheville, it's going to be about real community and real personal development enhancement and how you can get better, not just for yourself, but how you can be better for your family, your community, for your employer, and just for your brand in general. I have a saying, Francina, my brand is my full-time job. And at this event, we're going to be talking about how everything you do ties back to your brand, because we all have a brand, some bigger than others, but we all have a brand. So at this event, we're going to teach people how to develop their brand by becoming multicultural leadership improvement enhancement individuals to help them paint the best picture for their life.
Well said, Marcus. Thank you so much. And I have to share this with going back to season along. One of the other tenets that we've got to learn in this 21st century as humans is we've got to learn how to wait. And I tie that back to season along with the pets and his training that he's doing in the workforce today is, you know, it's there and you know you can achieve it, whether it's winning that contract or it's getting that next promotion on your job or if it's just to get a job. You know you can do that work, but you have to experience the weight. And in the experiencing that weight, do we experience that weight with patience or impatience? And I think that's a very profound tenet that we need to really look at when we are looking in that mirror at ourselves and look at our external environment. Are we manifesting assets or liabilities by being patient or impatient? I just get fascinated by this subject, Marcus. And I believe that you have a final word for even our sports players that are out there. They've been chosen for the NFL, the NBA, and they are sitting on the bench, but they're getting paid. Can you speak into those folks to just be patient? Your time will come, Marcus, and then we'll close this session for today. Please.
Every athlete that's in a major league sport has earned the right to be there by their performance in college or the performance they've done throughout their career.
Yes.
But every time an athlete gets to the level of the professional level, people who have been there longer than you, might be older than you, have been a little bit more advanced than you, might be mm-hmm. in your position ahead of you. That's okay. That's the process. Trust the process. Learn how to be very fortunate and embrace where you are in your journey. Do you want to start be on the field, on the court, the diamond? Absolutely you do. If you don't want to be there, then don't be a professional athlete. But don't get down or discouraged on yourself, because there is a brighter tomorrow. But you have to embrace your journey, be thankful where you are, find out how you can get better to develop the skills and talents needed to get on the court or on the field, or on the diamond, and then do it accordingly. And that's what we're going to be talking about in Asheville, North Carolina, next Thursday and Friday. How to develop patience, how to develop the attitude, how to develop the mindset. I'm doing a post tomorrow, Francina, after did from the gym today, about how I did this exercise, and I did more reps than I've ever done than I've been doing that exercise. And I realized, I was reminded, that in order to break out of your comfort zone, it starts with a strong mindset. Same thing here. To be patient, you have to have a strong mindset, a bend-but-don't-break attitude, and be fortunate for where you are, embrace your journey, and get guidance from people who have experience than you have, more experience than you do, which is why Mr. Stephen Graham, yourself, Ms. Jenkins, and myself are coming to the location to share experiences with people to help them achieve their best life next Thursday and Friday in Asheville, North Carolina.
Thank you so much, Marcus. And this is the new America. To all of our listeners, it's family time. It's time to get our patient affairs in order so we can lead by example today for our tomorrow. We're one nation under God, indivisible with liberty and justice for all peoples. Until next week, same time, same station. We are Francina Tate Hallres and Marcus Ogden, your host.
Empower your family with the dynamic new book by Francina Hallres, Our Sixth Sense and Purpose, The Power in Knowing Who You Are. It's the book that gives you insights into life's problems. Francina Hallres is an author, motivational speaker, and national broadcaster who believes the answers to your problems lies within the knowledge that was once traditionally passed down by families. But that knowledge has been short-circuited by today's faster pace. The book, Our Sixth Sense and Purpose, The Power in Knowing Who You Are, brings that accumulated wisdom to the problems that all families face. You'll find your copy of Our Sixth Sense and Purpose, The Power in Knowing Who You Are, at Amazon and at better bookstores. Empower your life with the dynamic new book, Our Sixth Sense and Purpose, The Power in Knowing Who You Are, by Francina Hallres.
Thank you for joining Francina Hallres on Empowered Family Talk. Tune in next week.